Can hear me? Yes. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. We'll have some of these Rasa Velasini. They're almost gone, though. They're good. My voice is a little water. Welcome. Good morning. For those of you who are experiencing morning right now, there's some of you there, I can see. Thank you. So we're going to continue. Where we left off. There's no need to travel right now. We've already gone through the different sequences of Gopakumar's journey. And our focus right now is the arguments that the Vaikuntha Dutas are giving to Gopakumar about the differences between meditation, smarana, and Nam Sankirtan. And the last time I spoke, I believe I said that I tried to give a summary of the different arguments which were still yet to come, which we hadn't covered yet. But just before I came, when I started looking at it, I realized I didn't come anywhere close to summarizing it. And there's still a lot of subtle and important points that need to be made about the distinction between smarana, remembrance, and how Nam Sankirtan automatically includes remembrance when performed properly. So the last verse that we chanted, read, had a purport, and I'll just read the verse because we read the purport. We consider chanting to be alone the most excellent form of bhakti, better than remembering, which appears only in one's own turbulent heart. For chanting harnesses not only the faculty of speech, which it engages directly, but also the mind and sense of hearing. And chanting helps not only the person practicing it, but others as well. And starting with today's text, which has no purport, I'll just read the translation, text 149. If the sense of speech, which sets all the external and internal senses in motion, is brought under constant control, then the mind becomes stable and can properly engage in transcendental remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance thus develops as the fruit of chanting. Essentially, what this verse is saying is that, again, the potency of speech, we can even think in terms of when we're forced to speak about Krishna, when the speech is controlled, and we're, as Prabhupada oftentimes emphasizes. In fact, when I read this verse, I was trying to remember, there was a quote I remember Prabhupada was speaking about, and I found it just minutes before I came in to speak. It was in 1969 in Ohio, and Prabhupada mentioned something which relates to this point. He was talking about, he was speaking with a group of people in Ohio, including, I believe, what's his name? what's the poet's name? Allen Ginsberg. He was present. And Hayagriva was there. A few other people were there. And Prabhupada was talking about, he's giving his home, himself as an example, that because he heard nicely, then he was able to speak nicely. And Prabhupada was relating the story when he was on Parikram, and when many of the, with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and many of the devotees went to see the Sheshashayi deity, but Prabhupada wanted to stay. He didn't want to go because he felt it was more important to stay and to hear from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that was used as one source of evidence of how much Prabhupada liked to hear. And Prabhupada was telling that story because I heard nicely, he said, I could speak. And then he goes on. He said, so they were to go to see some other temple, which is called Sheshayi Temple. So although I was a new man, I did not like to go to see the Sheshayi Temple. I decided that I shall hear. So at that time I was new, saw all other, some of my important god brothers. They were sitting like this, and I was sitting. At last you see. But he knew that, quote, this boy is new, everyone has gone, all others except a few selected god brothers. So he marked it that, quote, this boy is interested to hear me. So Prabhupada says, so hearing is very important. Hearing, just like Arjuna heard from Krishna. Because I was serious of hearing, and therefore I am now serious about kirtanam, means speaking or preaching. Do you follow what I said? Yes, so one who is serious about hearing, he can become a future nice preacher. Shravanam, kirtanam, next stage is developed, that is development. If one has actually heard nicely, then he will speak nicely. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, then consciousness will automatically develop. Because when you speak or you hear, unless your mind is concentrated, your consciousness is right, you cannot rightly hear or speak. So Prabhupada is saying here that when you were speaking, your mind has to be concentrated, especially if you're supposed to speak about Krishna, which is the point that Prabhupada is making. Okay. So this is the same point Vaikuntha Dutas are making here. If the sense of speech, which sets all the external, internal senses in motion, is brought under constant control, then the mind becomes stable and can properly engage in transcendental remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance thus develops as the fruit of chanting. There was no purport there. That was my commentary. Next verse. If those attached to meditation on the Lord still insist that remembering is of greater importance with their intelligence, they should make the following distinction. In meditation, the Lord reveals himself fully with his particular qualities, but in remembrance, the mind merely comes in contact with the Lord. Now here, Vaikuntha Dutas, they're going to make a distinction between, actually the words that are used here are dhyana. Evam prabhur dhyana rataya. Dhyana rataya means by those who attach to dhyana or meditation. And smriti is also synonymous with the word smarana or remembrance. So these are different stages, actually, of evolution of consciousness. And Prabhupada speaks about it in Upadeshamrita. I won't go into too much detail now because I want to read the purport first, but I'm just going to simply make the point that there is a distinction between smaranam, which is remembrance, and because in the purport will bring out that point, that remembrance isn't constant. Remembrance has a lot of distractions. You're trying to remember. And when you're trying to remember, you know, there are certain thoughts that evoke remembrance, but it's not constant. And whereas dhyana or meditation, there is more absorption, less distractions, but it's still not complete. Because there are different stages of evolution. First is called Shravana Dasa. Shravana, I said I wasn't going to go into it. I'm going to read the purport first, and then I'll go into it. Okay, I'm going to read the verse one more time. If those attached to meditation on the Lord still insist that remembering is of greater importance with their intelligence, they should make the following distinction. In meditation, the Lord reveals himself fully with his particular qualities. But in remembrance, the mind merely comes in contact with the Lord. Vaikuntha Dutas, that's their argument. They're saying those who are attached to meditation, if they're going to insist, it's more important, meditation. Here's the commentary. Some sincere and intelligent Vaishnavas are firmly convinced, note, they're sincere and intelligent. They're not rascals. And this point is also going to be elaborated on. Of course, there are some rascals too. That was another quote I was trying to remember. Prabhupada talked about this point. I'm going to just read it now. Not because I want to get it out of the way, only because it's Prabhupada and it's nectar. Prabhupada is saying here in this conversation, if they chant, then they'll understand everything. Cheto dharpana majana. Everything is misgiving within the heart. So if cheto dharpana majana, if the mirror of the heart is cleansed, then when the mirror is cleansed, you can see your face correctly. Similarly, when all misgivings, all dirty things cleared from the heart, you can see things as they are correctly. And this was a conversation with a journalist. His name happened to be Satish Kumar, who is now speaking. He says, in order to clear your heart, you have to chant. Prabhupada, that is it. Satish Kumar, right. Then a woman guest says, what about meditating? Prabhupada said, this is the best medicine, meditation. Woman guest, it's better than the other kind? Prabhupada, when meditation dhyana, it's very difficult nowadays. You chant to meditate, you think of your own business. That is another thing. So this is forced meditation. Hare Krishna. Even if you do not want to hear, you will hear. Prabhupada, then there's a lot of laughter. When there is chanting and dancing, Everyone who doesn't want to hear, they also hear. And this was the point that we also spoke about in the last one. That's why kirtan is better than dhyan, meditation, and what happened to Gopa Kumara when he saw everybody on Tapaloka. We're not going to go back there, but when he saw everybody on Tapaloka sitting and meditating, he wasn't inspired. In fact, his meditation went down by watching them meditate. He wasn't getting what he was looking for just to watch them meditate. And the point that is made is that, but when somebody is chanting, then even you don't want to hear, you hear. You have to hear. That is one of the additional benefits of Nam Sankirtan over meditation. Okay. So some sincere and intelligent Vaishnavas are firmly convinced that meditation on the Lord is the best form of devotional service. Since they perceive an authentic spiritual taste from their meditation, their opinion must be honored. But as the Vaikuntha Dutas here suggest, this opinion should be adjusted to make it exactly correct. Garland is hitting the microphone. I call it de-garlandizing. Okay. The opinion should be adjusted to make it exactly correct. Then, the advocates of the meditational process think as follows. In other words, those who advocate meditation is more important. This is how they're giving their way, the way they rationalize the superiority of meditation. This is what we're going to read now. The faculty of speech has the power to mobilize all the senses, both external, like the ears, and internal, like the mind. We already discussed it. If a person steadies his mind by controlling his speech, either through silence, mauna, or through Bhagavad Kirtan, he can begin the practice of remembering the Supreme Lord. So kirtan is the means to the goal of smarana. That's what their argument is. Scriptures may say that in Kali Yuga, the perfection of kirtan is itself the goal and automatically includes the results of smarana. But that is only in reference to the special situation in the modern age. Kaler dosha nidheda ajan nastya hiku mahadgana kirtan adiva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrtet. In the modern age of Kali, it's a dosha nidheda, it's an ocean of all bad faults. Therefore, for this age in Kali Yuga, it's one redeeming benefit is that simply by chanting, one gets mukta sangha param vrtet. He can be liberated. So scriptures may say that in Kali Yuga, the perfection of kirtan is itself the goal and automatically includes the results of smarana, but that is only in reference to the special situation of the modern age. It may also be said that the exceptional faults of Kali Yuga can be counteracted only by the very powerful process of kirtan, not by meditation alone or any other means. But actually, there is no absolute rule that meditation on the Lord is less than enough to wash away the contamination of the modern age. Good argument. Good argument. There's no rule that meditation isn't sufficient in of itself to wash away the contamination of the modern age. Rather, hundreds of convincing statements of Scripture confirm that simply remembering the personality of Godhead destroys one's sinful reactions. Thus, meditation is the best form of devotional service. That's their argument. Who tell you? Who's making all these complaints? What should I do? Baba Bhavani. I'll try. Maybe I'll stop moving my hands. I'll sit on my hands. Huh? Okay. So that's, now the Vaikuntha Dutas, I speak more with my hands. I don't know what. The Vaikuntha Dutas accept this opinion as long as it is qualified by the understanding that true meditation on the Supreme Lord is a very mature stage of devotional development. In meditation, the devotee realizes the Lord in the heart and directly perceives many details of the Lord's exquisite beauty and charm, from his feet to the hair on his head. But in the more usual smriti, or remembrance, the mind only comes in contact with the Lord as when one thinks God exists, or, quote, I am the Supreme Lord's servant. So this is the argument the Vaikuntha Dutas are making. You should adjust this. What is meditation? It's a state of, it's an advanced state of consciousness. And Prabhupada talks about it in Upadeshamrita, and the, I think it's verse 8, he's quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who's also giving reference to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, about the different stages of evolution of consciousness. And the first stage is called Shravana Das. And Shravana Das is the stage of hearing. Hearing about sadhana, hearing about sadhya, both. Hearing what is the sadhana to achieve the sadhya, which is the goal. And in Shravana Dasa, one also hears about the various types of offenses that one may commit in chanting the holy name of the Lord. He hears all different elements about bhakti. And he acquires faith as a result of that hearing. And then the next stage is called Varanadasa. And Varanadasa is a stage of acceptance. The stage of acceptance, it means that I've heard, now I have something to act on and something I can repeat because I've heard. Same thing Prabhupada said. Because I heard nicely, I was able to speak nicely. He talked about. So Varanadasa is the stage of acceptance. I've heard. Now, because I've heard, I can act on, and I can repeat and tell others about it. And then the next stage is called Smarana Dasa. And Smarana Dasa has five stages, which begin with Smarana, Dharana, Dhyana, and then more advanced stage of Dhyana is called Anusmriti, or Dhruvanusmriti. And then the last stage of dhyana is samadhi, absorption. So in these different stages of dhyana, the first stage is smarana. And smarana means, just like what is being stated here in the purport, smarana is an attempt to remember. But while making attempts to remember, there are many distractions. One cannot be fixed in remembrance. It's just an attempt to remember. Sometimes remembrance is nice. Sometimes remembrance is distracted. And then there's smarana. And then dharana means that less distractions, more smarana, and less distractions. And dhyana is meditation. And in the stage of dhyana or meditation, which is being described right here, which is an advanced stage, then it's not only just remembering and freedom from distractions, but it's actually an absorption in many aspects of the object of one's meditation. That is dhyana, meditation. Here, just as the Vaikuntha Dutas are saying here, that, this Sanatana Goswami is saying in the purport, that true meditation of the Supreme is a very mature stage of development. In meditation, a devotee realizes the Lord in the heart and directly perceives many details of the Lord's exquisite beauty and charm. In other words, in meditation, dhyana, it's an elevated state and distractions are not very frequent. But that even is not the most advanced stage. Beyond meditation is anusmriti. Anusmriti is actually the stage when it's complete absorption. And then, of course, samadhi means not only complete absorption, but there's no interruptions at all. Just like, I don't know if you remember, when we spoke about Gopakumara, when he was on Tapaloka, and when he finally adopted the recommendations that were given to him by Pipalayana Rishi to sit and to absorb himself in meditation, and he actually started to like it, and he started to become very peaceful. But then one of the things that caused his disturbances in his mind, which made him to start to think that maybe it's time to go someplace else, is that even though he was in dhyana or meditation, sometimes there was a secondary effect of his meditation that was sort of like, it was described as shushupti, like a deep sleep. Like when a person goes into deep sleep, he's not really meditating. He's in deep sleep. He's not conscious of anything. And he was experiencing that. He was experiencing that in his meditation, that there would be interruptions because he always wanted to be, always. That was his hankering of his heart, to always be in constant association with his worshipable object. So this meditation was nice, but one of the things that distracted him was the fact that sometimes the secondary effect of his meditation was like this state of deep sleep, and he could no longer fix his mind on his mantra or the object of his mantra. So his dhyana is not was complete. He still hadn't come to the stage of, you know, what was the word I used? samadhi. Anusmriti, then samadhi. So that was sort of like the catalyst that gave him the inspiration to, well, time to move on. Time to move on. So the same point is being made here. Of course, I only ended with the Shravana Das. Shravana Das has the five aspects, as which you just gave. Then there's Apana Das. Apana Das is actually the stage when one understands his spiritual identity. And then there's Sampatti. Sampatti is actually Vastu Siddhi. Sampatti, this is described in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. It's described in, and Prabhupada describes it actually. Prabhupada describes it in Upadeshamrita. I'll read it. And it's in Upadeshamrita, text 8. He says, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravanadas, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain the stage of acceptance called Varanadas. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavasta, or Smaranadasa, the stage of remembering. There are five items: recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smarana. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later, remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and it is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi or spiritual trance. After smaranadasa or samadhi has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. Prabhupada doesn't mention it here, but that's called apanadasa. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. That is called sampatidasa, the perfection of life. Now, I brought that up because this is the point which Sanatana Goswami is bringing out in the purport, that the persons who are attached to meditation, they try to give an argument, which we already read the different arguments that they gave. It's yes, kirtan is a speciality for this age of Kali Yuga because it's an ocean of faults, but there's nothing, that there is no absolute statement that states that by remembrance of the Lord, then all of one's contaminations cannot be washed away. It's a fact. By constant remembrance of the Lord, all of contaminations can be washed away. It's accepted as a fact. And therefore, their conclusion, meditation is the best form of devotional service. But the Vaikuntha Duta's argument is, yes, but that's that's an advanced stage. What to do about those who sit and meditate, as Prabhupada said in his comment? Yes, they sit and meditate and they think of their business. That's their meditation. But when there's kirtan, they have to hear. Even if they don't want to hear, they have to hear. So Prabhupada is therefore emphasizing the superiority of kirtan above meditation, because especially in this age of Kali, men are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and lucky, short-lived, and above all, always disturbed. So their meditation is very, in most cases, very incomplete and very inadequate. And what to speak of their opportunities for pleasure are very, not very frequent, as which is available for those who get the opportunity to use their senses, as we read about in the other day. The neophyte gets the opportunity to engage his senses in kirtan, in hearing the holy name, in relishing the sweet taste of the holy name, and in relishing the topics glorifying the holy name. We quoted that verse from Kaviraj Goswami. We didn't give the details of that verse, but they're important. Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that one has to learn about the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy names by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. There's no other way to taste the sweetness of Krishna's name. And this Kaviraj Goswami specifically quoted this verse in reference to Haridas Thakur's reaction to hearing Rupa Goswami read the verse that he wrote for Vidagdha Madhava, glorifying the nectar that he experiences from the two syllables, Krishna. When he says, when these two syllables, Krishna, are chanted, I desire thousands of tongues and millions of ears, and when it enters into the courtyard of my heart, then my mind becomes inert, my senses become stunned. And when Haridas Thakur heard Rupa Goswami's recitation of the verse describing the glories of the holy name, Haridas Thakur began to swoon in ecstasy by hearing Rupa Goswami's explanation of the holy name. And then Kaviraj Goswami explains that that's what happens when someone like Rupa Goswami glorifies the holy name of the Lord, and when somebody hears that glorification, they relish it with some taste, and by experiencing that taste, that's how they get some taste for chanting and hearing the glories of the holy name of the Lord, which is Srimad Bhagavatam is all about, which everything is just a, simply a glorification of the holy name of the Lord, because Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Puna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Binatman Nama Namino, because when you glorify the Lord, it's glorification of the holy name. They're non-different. Non-different. So, therefore, the Vaikuntha Dutas are saying, okay, meditation, if you say it's the best, we accept your sincere and honest presentation, but it's an advanced stage, and unfortunately, not everybody can come to that advanced stage so quickly. Therefore, they're going to give some more arguments, and I'm going to read just a couple of more verses because they're all connected to this verse. And then we'll begin chanting. The next verse, if by the force of one's meditation, all the functions of the senses, sankirtan of the Lord, physical contact with him, seeing him, and so on, become absorbed into the function of the mind, that meditation may be accepted as better than chanting out loud. So they're saying, okay, we accept it. If you can meditate, and by your meditation, you can be totally absorbed in meditation, in chanting. You can be totally absorbed in your meditation, experiencing all the wonderful sensations of the senses spiritually, without having to use your external senses. It works. Go for it. Do it. Do it. If you can do that, do it. And then in the next verse, they even qualify it even more. They say, whatever the devotional method by which a man with true spiritual taste feels satisfaction and complete joy, that is the method saintly authorities deem most excellent and effective for him. It is not only the best of methods, but the very aim of his endeavor. If you relish it, if you taste, if you're absorbed, if your meditation is actually bringing you to more anusmriti and samadhi, then do it. Go for it. It's right. It's for you. It's for you. But they're going to say, it's for you. It's not for everybody. So, then in the commentary, how should we regard the meditation in which a Vaishnava does not experience the sensory functions of Sankirtan, touching the Lord, and so on, but merely contemplates the Lord's form? That style of devotional service should also be accepted as perfect for the devotee who derives pleasure from it. When a devotee feels eager attraction to any of the nine kinds of service, that devotional method becomes the means for him to quickly fulfill all his desires. Moreover, his practice will gradually evolve into prema, the final goal of devotional life. Last verse for today. A lot more for the next time. A lot more, because then they're going to go back into Nam Sankirtan again. But we, Sankirtan expands the joy of meditation. Meditation, the sweet joy of Sankirtan. In our own experience, the two methods fortify one another and are therefore actually one. Commentary. The Vaikuntha messenger's own opinion is that both meditation and Sankirtan are advantageous. The two methods support one another. And because one or the other may be more suitable in different times, places, and circumstances, their mutual dependence should not cause confusion. Either may be done separately, but neither, in the end, is complete without the other. Regardless of which serves as the cause and which the effect, the two are essentially non-different. So, I think that's pretty clear, self-evident. They support each other. You can't have Sankirtan without meditation. You can't have meditation without Sankirtan. Both, when done properly, will induce spiritual pleasure. And then the next verse, I said that was going to be the last one, but the next one is a short one. Meditation bestows the same joy as Sankirtan when a meditating devotee directly sees the object of his heart's desire. That's what we said before, right? Dhyana. Dhyana includes all aspects of the object of one's meditation. All aspects. It's beauty, it's form, it's fragrance, everything. He comes in contact with the object of his meditation. If you get that from your meditation, then it's the best. It's the best for you. Meditation bestows the same joy of Sankirtan when a meditating devotee directly sees the object of his heart's desire, not Smarana, meditation. Such a devotee, intent only on reaching that one desired object he worships, is sure to find spiritual peace. There's too many other verses connected. We'll have to continue the next time. We've already been speaking for 45 minutes. We should start our japa. But this is our next stage of dhyana, smarana. I don't want to say versus, because that puts them in competition with each other, which is not, definitely not, which is being expanded upon here. They're not in competition with each other. On the contrary, they enhance each other. But one without the other is incomplete. And Vaikuntha Dujas are going to make the argument that Nam Sankirtan evokes this because of all the extra additional benefits one gets from Nam Sankirtan, which are not obtainable by dhyana, meditation. That's the conclusion. That's the conclusion. And then, of course, when they finally come to that conclusion, they're going to say to Gopa Kumar, now it's time to go back down to Mathura and realize the fruit of ecstatic chanting.
Jadwaita Maharaj, he has joined the Boston group.
Who?
Jadwaita Maharaj.
Jadwaita Maharaj.
Joined the Boston group. What is request of to let him?
Oh, Jayawaita Maharaj, are you there?
If they can.
He's in ISKCON, Boston. Okay. If they could share the screen, then we can see Jayawaita Maharaj, and he can correct me for all the mistakes I made. Jayawada Maharaj, are you present? Hare Krishna. Well, if he's not present, we will go into our next stage, which is japa.
Maharaj is present.
He is present.
Yeah.
But he can't speak. He can't speak. I see. Okay, now I understand. Yeah. He's watching on YouTube, and YouTube is non-participatory. It's just watching, right? It's not Zoom.
Yeah. So, Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj is in ISKCON Boston Zoom, and like there is only one participant.
Okay, got it. Got it. Thank you. I was misled.
I'm talking.
Hare Krishna. So now we will move into our next part of the session, japa. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda. I'm waiting for Jayawada Maharaj to correct me because he was very much involved in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But I see Dharmada. Hare Krishna Dharmada, also very intimately involved in the development of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, weren't you? No? You're too humble? You helped Gopi Puranadana Prabhu so much in his work of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I'm sure you could speak very nicely on this topic as well. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for joining us for our japa session today and for giving me this opportunity. What's the matter? Is something wrong? Oh, they're here. I thought you were indicating that you can't hear me. For giving you this opportunity to be with you, to chant with you, and we will be here again in 2 days. Today is Monday. I lost all track of time. Is it Monday?
Yes.
Yes. Giriraj Maharaj once told me something Prabhupada told him. I always remembered it. He said, Prabhupada said to him that if you don't know what day it is, then you're crazy. Crazy man. I rarely these days know what day it is. But I remembered yesterday was Sunday, so today was Monday. I don't know why I remembered yesterday was Sunday. But it was easy to figure out today was Monday. Thank you. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivrinda.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.